I want to welcome you and say good morning. You're tuned to Heart of Mind Radio over PRN.FM, the Progressive Radio Network. I'm Catherine Davis. On today's program, we're going to explore information about stem cells and their role in restoring human health with Christian Drapeau, a leader in the field of stem cell nutrition, and Elena Gurevich, a licensed massage therapist and representative for StemTech, a botanically based product that supports the performance of the body's natural stem cells. Later in the program, if we have time, I'll be doing a brief commentary on how we have responsibility for taking charge of our own health needs. My guest, Christian Drapeau, is Chief Science Officer at StemTech International. He co-founded StemTech, a leader in the field of stem cell nutrition, in 2005. Prior to co-founding StemTech, Drapeau was the Director of Research and Development at CellTech and Desert Lake Technologies, where his study of the Chionoptera apenosomena, plus agua, that's basically, what is that?
It's a blue-green algae.
Blue-green algae. That's so much easier to say.
It is.
Slowly led him to the field of stem cell research. Christian's theory that adult stem cells are nothing less than the human body's natural healing system that has profound implication for every area of modern medicine. The idea that heart disease, diabetes, and other medical conditions could become things of the past is no longer science fiction, because of the recent adult stem cell research breakthroughs. Drapeau's current research focuses on methods to support the natural role of adult stem cells in the body, and he collaborates with scientists and other medical experts around the world on adult stem cell research applications. And he is, I could go on for a long time, but it would probably be better for you to talk about the work that you do. So we're going to get to that in a minute. I just wanted to also introduce Elena Gurevich, and she's a licensed massage therapist and a true Renaissance woman. She is a healer, health coach, licensed massage therapist, as well as a classically trained pianist, opera singer, painter, sculptor, dancer, and yoga instructor. Wow. She lives in Manhattan, and she's very dedicated to this work through StemTech, allowing us to find ways to heal our body naturally. I welcome you both to Heart of Mind Radio.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming. And could I have a copy of that book for a moment? I didn't tell people about your book, Cracking the Stem Cell Code, What's New, What's Real, and What's Next in Stem Cell Science, by Christian Drapeau. And this is the updated edition, so people can learn much, much more about this work. And Christian, I had a really great opportunity to see you make a presentation yesterday at the I think it was the UN church, and you were speaking to a lot of people who seemed very engaged with what you were sharing. And these were people who were scientists, religious leaders, doctors, lay people such as myself. And you were able to really deliver the message that we have a unique capacity to heal our own body by understanding how stem cells work.
Correct.
So I would love for you to share with our audience exactly what is a stem cell. I know there's all this political controversy because of the, categorize maybe the religious right who are concerned about using stem cells from the birth process or the placentas or however it comes.
Embryo.
Embryos. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, but you're not really talking about that, but I'm not above speaking to it because I think it is that hysteria that is making it hard for people to get real information. So let's start, though, by understanding what are stem cells and how do they get produced in our body?
Correct. We can come back to this, but this controversy about stem cells, the main reason why I don't talk about it much anymore, it's largely because it's sort of in the past. It's no longer really a controversy out there, but it's interesting nonetheless to understand the story or the history of it, because it did influence a lot where we are today. But to understand what a stem cell is, probably the simplest way to define it is to talk about what is not a stem cell. Every cell of the body will do one thing. A cell of the pancreas will produce insulin, and that's the only thing that these cells will do, and they will never become anything else, and they will never multiply into a population of cells. The cell that makes insulin will only make insulin during the rest of its life. A muscle cell will remain a muscle cell. A cell of your retina will be excited by light. That's the only thing it will do. And these are all the so-called somatic cells, all the cells of your body. At the other end of that spectrum, you have the stem cells. They are nothing. They don't do anything in your body. Their role is to transform into something else. And then in this way, by their ability to becoming cells of virtually every cells of the body, then they have the role of repairing the body. So they are a cell that are nothing with the capacity of becoming virtually anything. That's a stem cell.
Okay. And that's interesting because I remember from your talk you did speak to this. And I've heard many times this statement that our body is sort of reborn every 7 years or so and everything is created of new cells. So the stem cell is basically the mechanism that allows that to occur.
Correct. It's an interesting statement because, like you said, we've heard it for a long time. You know, we have a new body every 7 years. Other people will say 12 years. And the time frame here is not really relevant. But what stem cell research has shown, incidentally, very, very few studies were done to study this specific phenomenon. But through various studies, what is really emerging is that indeed the body is constantly in a process of renewal, but each tissue and each organ will renew itself with a different time frame. The liver, for example, can renew itself within 2-3 years. The heart will take more, maybe 20 to 40 years to renew itself. But the body is constantly in this process of renewal, and as the body loses cells, then the cells that are lost are indeed replaced by stem cells migrating in various tissues and becoming cells of these tissues.
And where do stem cells come from?
They come from, originally, they are in the bone marrow. So they come from the bone marrow of your, as an adult, of your flat bones, your short bones, like the sternum, the cranium, the pelvis, the ribs. This is where stem cells essentially will come from. But as they leave the bone marrow every day, they also migrate in various tissues. So most tissues will have their own inherent stem cells, tissue stem cells, that will participate to the quick repair process. But originally, they're from the bone marrow. That's sort of the bank.
Mm-hmm. And is there a situation when people do not create stem cells, or they have a lack of stem cells, or does everybody have adequate stem cells?
Correct. I mean, there could be a problem with how the stem cells function in terms of any disease of the bone marrow, leukemia, just to name one. So there could be problems linked to the bone marrow, but everybody is making stem cells. If you don't make stem cells, you cannot really, I mean, just think of Hiroshima. You just irradiate somebody and they don't make it for very long.
Mm-hmm.
All your blood cells come from your stem cells. If you don't make stem cells, you just don't make it in this world.
Okay. So anyone alive has stem cells.
That's right.
Well, that's significant to know. And what was really interesting about your talk is that you spoke of how stem cells actually work in the body. So can you explain to our listeners what's happening? It's generated in the bone marrow. And how does it get, what is the journey of it becoming a different cell?
You know, to me, and that was the real impetus to write this book, Cracking the Stem Cell Code, is that we hear about stem cells everywhere in the media, but most of the time we hear about isolating stem cells from the umbilical cord, adipose tissues, the embryonic stem cells, and then we tweak them in the lab, and then we re-inject them in the body. And in all this discussion, the one thing we never talk about is the fact that we already have them in our body. So before we inject them, before we do anything with them, then what are they doing in the body? We have them, and they're there, and they're playing an important role. And that is what you just described. It's the repair process. Anytime there is here's what we know today, very, very well demonstrated in the scientific literature, though not very well talked about. Stem cells, anytime we have an injury, this was documented with heart attack, for example, burn of the skin, fracture of a bone, or stroke. Anytime we have an injury, within hours of the injury, specific compounds will show up in the blood, released by the area affected. So compounds known to trigger stem cell release. Within a matter of a few days, the number of stem cells will increase fairly drastically in the bloodstream, 3 to 10 times more stem cells in circulation. The area that is affected, where the injury is, will then start to release other compounds that attract stem cells to that location. So as stem cells circulate everywhere in the body, when they circulate in the fine capillaries of the area affected, then those compounds will then attract stem cells, will migrate in that tissue, and then literally crawl in the tissue to the site of the injury. And then in contact with cellular debris of that tissue, these cells, these stem cells, will proliferate. So one cell will become, let's say, 1,000 cells, and then they will become cells of that tissue, literally patching up, repairing the tissue, and doing it in a way, I mean, our tissues today are not the tissues we're born with. So it's a natural process that we should not think of it as exceptional or happening just when we have an injury. It's happening all the time. It's everywhere in our body today. Stem cells become cells of our tissues and just maintain the tissues into their normal functioning.
Mm-hmm. And you also spoke about the relationship of inflammation in our body. Is that one of the signals to a stem cell that it needs to go to an area?
Inflammation in itself is not a signal. However, when you have inflammation, inflammation come from an injured tissue in some ways. So compounds that will attract stem cells or will coordinate the behavior of stem cells are also released oftentimes in a process of inflammation. Mm-hmm. So all these compounds are sort of all together. And where inflammation, not in one area, inflammation in one area will attract stem cells in that area. Where inflammation becomes sort of a problem in this whole natural process of tissue repair and tissue renewal is that if we have inflammation in many, many places, which is, you know, welcome to modern life,
right.
Where we get up in the morning and we have a little bit of a knee pain and a back pain and joint pain here and there, muscle pains, well, we must not kid ourselves. We feel it in these tissues and organs, but it's just not there. It's in many other places, like your arteries, your liver, other places, where you don't feel it because you don't have pain receptors. Mm-hmm. So it's, let's call it disseminated micro-inflammation all throughout the body. This inflammation everywhere kind of clouds the ability of stem cells to find where it is really that they need to go to do repair. So it's in that way that generalized inflammation does not help the ability of stem cells to do their job of repair in the body. Mm-hmm. So what I was talking about is it's one of the reasons why it's good to have a lot of pigmented food. Eat a lot of everything that is pigmented in our diets is most of the time anti-inflammatory, antioxidant. It's good to have a lot of these.
Okay, that's really good advice, and I think many people do make that effort to follow that, but you're really talking about, you know, whole foods.
Correct.
Basically, yeah.
Everybody knows that inflammation is not good. I mean, this is not a novel idea in any way. What we're sort of seeing is that one other reason why inflammation is not good, aside for everything that is that it's known for, is also that it clouds or reduces the ability of stem cells to participate to the process of tissue repair, which we need. Mm-hmm. Every day of our life, we lose cells. It's not the cause of our problems. The cause of our health problems is that we have a decline in our ability to then repair these tissues. Mm-hmm. And that's where most problems come from. So we want to help stem cells as much as we can to do their job.
Okay. I would like to take a step back in your process and speak to your research, starting with your understanding and the results you received from the blue-green algae and how that helped you come to the conclusions that you now have about helping the stem cells to survive and thrive within the body.
The starting point, my background is neurophysiology. So I was at the Montreal Neurological Institute. So like many stem cell researchers, we don't study in stem cells. We just slowly take that direction because there's a reason that lead us in that direction. For me, I started to study a natural plant, a botanical, a blue-green algae, because I was hired by a company essentially selling this product. And we needed to develop the science of this product in order to be able to have data to support the claims that were made. So if we say this product is good for the immune system, then we needed to be able to have data to document these claims. So that's how it started. And as I was studying this blue-green algae, we did find a very good anti-inflammatory compound, something that affects the immune system, something that affects the nervous system. But throughout all these years, and I'm talking here probably 1994 to 2000, during those years, I got a lot of cases of people who reported health benefits that really could not explain with what we had discovered with this plant. And there were many, many of them, and they were touching various aspects of human health. Improvements in liver function, pancreatic function, heart function, brain, skin, joints, lung. So the big question became, what is it that this plant can do to affect so many different aspects of human health? If you take an aspirin, it's good for your headache. It doesn't affect your hunger. It doesn't affect mm-hmm. you. You know, things do one thing. So when you have a product that affects so many aspects of human health, the question was, what is this one thing that the product does that will then, as a consequence, benefits touching many aspects of human health? It's a question for which we had no answers until one day when a colleague of mine sent me an article, a scientific paper, and the title of it was Turning Blood into Brain. Mm-hmm. And it was the first observation that stem cells from the bone marrow could become naturally, without any stimulation, any tweaking of any kind, could become brain cells. Then another paper where the same observations were made in the heart. They could become heart cells. Then they could become liver cells. So on the basis of these, then the thoughts start to come out in my mind and in my colleague's mind that, well, if stem cells can become a brain cell and a heart cell, that cannot just be random. I mean, it's a feat. It's an extraordinary feat for a cell to go from a stem cell and to become a brain cell. Then it had to be natural. It had to be the natural repair system of the body. So we published this hypothesis in the journal Medical Hypotheses, and then we started the research with this first hypothesis that we had, that maybe this blue-green algae, its mechanism of action is that it puts more stem cells in the bloodstream, and then it would explain why we had this broad variety of benefits. And to make the story short, we discovered that that's what it did. And now we fast forward, 10, 15 years later, and that's what stem cells do. They are the natural repair system of the body, and that's what that plant does. It just puts more stem cells in the bloodstream.
Okay. And so, since this is a natural process within our body, theoretically, would it be possible to, live forever?
I would say it's sort of a different question, because my first question to your question would be, do we want to live forever?
That is a good question.
there is nothing lives forever in this world. Everything decays to some extent. Mm-hmm. So even if we were to help the body stay healthy, stay strong, work perfectly for a long time, everything degenerates over time. And there's a point where what happens in terms of degenerations, like cancer process, like the risk of cancer will increase over time. And there's a point where you don't want to keep a body going forever when suddenly all these risks are also increasing in the organism. Mm-hmm. So I think really what we're looking at now is not so much immortality as much as just the time that we're here. Let's just give the body a chance to just have its optimal health by supporting its natural way of staying healthy. And it changes everything. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you still live, you know, 80 years old, but you do it healthy, it's already, I think, a great step forward.
Well, yeah, because the quality of life is such that you can really have a joyful, pain-free life. So I definitely
agree
with
you. And active. Mm-hmm. You know, I think a big problem in our society is that, and it's an insidious one, like we don't see it, but how do we define health? We define health by the absence of a disease. And I would ask to many people, and I do this oftentimes in a lecture, I say, how many people here are healthy? And many people raise their hands. And I say, okay, now, how many people here can say, I'm as healthy as I can be? And there's a lot of hands that go down. Mm-hmm. Our memory is not as good as it used to be. We don't walk as fast as we used to. We don't run as long as we used to. We don't climb the stairs as fast as we used to. There's just a lot of things that we don't know. And we know that we could do it better. So we settle for absence of disease. And what we're discovering here is that, no, we can settle for optimal health. The best that my body can do. And there's a big difference between just living the last 20 years of your life, just going by and having day by day, and at the other end just say, no, I'm still an active citizen. I still realize myself till the last day of my life. That's what I'm talking about. It's a huge difference.
It really is a huge difference. I would like to speak to people who are, though, in that diseased state and help them understand how improving their stem cell, I won't say productivity, but receptivity, maybe it would be a better word, to be able to restore their health. Is there any indication that there was help for people with Alzheimer's or multiple sclerosis or Parkinson's and a lot of these degenerative diseases that people are challenged with?
Every time we talk specifically about one disease, it gets fairly complex to include all the elements to make sure that at the end we really have a very well-balanced view of the state of stem cell research with any problem. Mm-hmm. So let me sort of answer it generally speaking, and I'll try to make this as simple and understandable as possible. Every degenerative problem is the consequence of losing cells. You lose the cells making insulin, you have diabetes. You lose the cells making dopamine in the brain, you have Parkinson. You lose the cells in your thyroid gland, you have hypothyroidism. You lose the cells in the Schwann cells in your spinal cord, you have multiple sclerosis. Every disease is the consequence or the result of losing a type of cell in your body. Now, stem cells can become virtually any kind of cells in your body. You do not develop a problem because you're losing the cells. You're developing the problem because you have a decline in your ability to replace the cells that have been lost. Like we said before, if we renew our tissue constantly, let's say we have a pancreas every 4 or 5 years. That means that when somebody is 25 years old, he or she has had 5 pancreases. So the loss has been very significant, but the person is not diabetic. It just shows that the replacement is equal to the loss so that the organ continues to function normally. We don't develop problem because we lose cells, because we lose them all the time. We have a decline in our ability to repair. So if we enhance the ability to repair, then we give an edge for the body to probably gain some ground on what is that tissue and cellular loss in the body. And yes, we have seen many cases. I mean, when I say we, I mean, there are many, many places in the world where people can get stem cell injections. So in a very general way, we get this sense oftentimes here in America that stem cell treatments are not yet ready, not yet available. It's 10 years down the road. It's still in studies, and it will come in very, very sophisticated scientific centers by very unique elite scientific groups. And certain treatments are that way. But just last year, a few 100,000 people got treated with stem cell injections with very good success worldwide. it's there, it exists, and anyway.
Well, yeah, that's part of it, and part of the problem in the United States, of course, is the need to profit from such, I guess, treatments is one part of the problem, and also this exploitation of the perception that people have for political reasons, you know, and you know, I would like to challenge that if there were a way to challenge that, but I'm not really focusing on that now. What I would like for you to do is to let people know the difference between a lot of the stem cell treatments are created in a lab. They include certain kinds of maybe chemicals or processes that may or may not be healthy, or may not have some kind of other side effects. And the stem cell that you have researched and are working with today is really a natural-based product. And I would like for people to be able to distinguish between those two concepts.
Okay. Before I get into the details of it, I just want to make it very clear. Studies have not been done to compare the efficacy of these two different approaches. So my point here is not to say one is better or less good as another one, but just to describe what they are. Normally, when we talk about stem cell treatments, we talk about isolating stem cells from a source. The most common sources today are your adipose tissue, so your fat tissue contains a lot of stem cells. Oftentimes, so we can do a liposuction in one person and obtain enough stem cells for an injection. It is the growing field of stem cell injection today comes from adipose tissue. Dental pulp stem cells also can be very effective. There are places in different countries, in Thailand, for example, if a child loses a tooth, the mother can put the tooth in a small tube that contains a liquid that will keep these cells alive. You send that to the lab. The stem cells are isolated, then multiplied, and anybody can go and get an injection from that are derived from dental pulp stem cells. So there are many sources of stem cells. They're extracted. Umbilical cord stem cells is also a big source of stem cells. They multiply them, they keep them frozen, and people can go and purchase stem cells and get a stem cell injection. This is sort of the general use of stem cells. Another big type of stem cells that we hear in the media, which is probably more talked about because there's big money behind it, and it's the induced pluripotent stem cells. It's to take a skin cell and tweak it to become what looks like an embryonic stem cells, so that we can tap in all the I wouldn't say the fantasy, all the promises of embryonic stem cells without the controversy of embryonic stem cells. The problem is that these cells a very high risk of tumor formation. It is the challenge with these cells. That's the reason why, while about a few hundred thousand people have been treated with adult stem cells last year, there's still not one treatment available with these cells. It's still experimental, and it's because of the high risk. But it's there. It's one of the directions that is being taken. The direction that we have taken is, if we understand that stem cells are in the blood to begin with, it is one of the source of stem cells if we want to extract stem cells from a person. And then we tweak them in the lab, and then we re-inject them in one's blood. If they're in the blood to begin with, and through the injection, what we do is that we simply increase the number of stem cells in circulation, then it begs the question, what if we had more in the bloodstream, not by any of these interventions, but just by releasing your own stem cells that you already release every day to some extent? What if we just enhance this natural process in the body? And the reason why we're studying this path, which is called endogenous stem cell mobilization, which is the release of your own stem cells, is because we discovered that plant that does that. So it basically put us in the path of studying this process. And then we went on and studied many plants historically known to bring a broad variety of benefits. Goji berries, medicinal mushroom, and other more exotic plants coming from Papua New Guinea, Madagascar, South America. And then we found a number of them that's what they do. They increase the release of stem cells. So essentially, it's really simple. There's nothing exotic about it. Just like we have echinacea and a lot of plants that help the immune system, we just discovered we have a repair system, and there's a lot of plants that supports the repair system. It's really that simple. Mm-hmm. That's the direction that we have taken.
Excellent. I want to give Elena a chance to speak to this as well. And Elena Gurevich, you're a licensed massage therapist and true Renaissance woman. I know, because I am as well. And and I want to give you an opportunity to talk about this. I think the product itself is Stem Tech, right? And do you take this yourself? And what has been some of your own experiences in seeing people who have experienced this nutrient?
I have been taking Stem Enhance since 2008, every day. And what I have found is that my own problems with my back had significantly improved. I used to not be able to sit in a car or drive or sit for a long time without big problems. Now I get up in the morning, I'm ready to go, and I notice that all of my clients, massage clients who have done it, and my friends who have been taking consistently the product, their health benefits consistently improved. Because every day that we're taking it, my and their health is improving. So I found it very difficult, actually, to work with people who are not on the product, because it helps. It makes my job so much easier.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting. So when you're doing massage with people, and you're working with them to improve their health, I know that this is a contribution that people can take this supplement, and many people take other supplements that have different impact on their health. How would you advise people to really look at their healing process beyond anything that they might take? But just when you're looking at people and working with people, how do you advise them to make choices? How do you work with them to heal their body? I'd like a more broader perspective on the work that you do.
Many people have their own individual way of working with their bodies through the years or whatever they're doing. I tell them that if they help their stem cells, that is really important. So our product is very, very unique, and it is different. I want to stress that it is very different from just taking super blue green algae. Our product has been designed to release 3 to 4 million more stem cells in the bloodstream, and that's a lot, and it has been proven to help the body to revive and repair itself better. So I noticed that when the people that I work with, in addition to whatever they're taking, take our product, it makes a tremendous difference.
Mm-hmm. So would you feel that at this point in your process as a healer and helping people to transform their lives through the healing of their body, that you consider this process of revitalizing and increasing stem cells to be superior to, say, massage, which you also do?
I wouldn't say that. I say it's essential to take this supplement because I believe in it so much, and because it made such a big difference in my own health and the health of other people who I have helped. And manual therapy is very important too. It's important to massage people, because that makes a big difference. And I don't just do massage, so I work with people in different modalities, and I have been trained in doing it for 27 years. So,
mm-hmm. So everything needs to be integrated on
yes, it's
most
a
level.
Holistic approach. Yes.
Well, yeah, I agree with that. And I'm wondering, Christian, if you could also speak to the holistic approach that you would want people to understand and put this into context within their own life.
I studied... I've been, again, a little bit like Elena in this field for some 20 years. So there's a lot of aspects to health. But if we focus on stem cells, I think that what is emerging that to me is fascinating in science is that when we talk about many things that we know are good for health, we realize that somewhere it's also tied to an enhancement or an assistance, a support to stem cell function. And when we look at things that are known to be not good for health, they strangely or interestingly have a negative effect on stem cells. Examples, exercise is very good for health for many reasons. Well, it was discovered that when we do very strong exercise, we do put more stem cells in circulation. We need to sleep very well. We know very well, and in this country, one of the big problems is that very few people actually sleep very well. Well, we know now that when we sleep very deep sleep, REM sleep, we release melatonin that will support the proliferation of brain stem cells. We know that stress is bad for health. Well, it was discovered that stress hormones that we release actually will shut down the ability of stem cells to migrate in tissues and to proliferate, which is to do their job of repair in the tissues. We have seen cigarette smoke. If we make a cigarette smoke extract and give that to an animal, it will reduce the ability of stem cells to proliferate and migrate. Recently, an article was published, fasting. We know that fasting is very good for health. And now it was discovered that fasting more than 3 days increases the number of stem cells circulating in the body. So there's a lot of things that we know are good for health, and it all points to this core central part of our health that seems to be stem cells. Everything that affects stem cells positively or negatively has a significant outcome on our overall health. So everything that I would say we intuitively know is good for health, then it's one more reason to do it.
Exactly. I want to put out the call number so that in case there are some questions, we have to take a station break and have some announcements, and if some questions come in, then we can continue and answer people's numbers, calls. But before doing that, maybe we can hand out some contact information for people so that if you want them to reach you to ask further questions or to inquire about... go right ahead, Elena.
Okay, the number to contact me, my name is Elena Gurevich, and my number is 917-861-8595.
Okay, so repeat that.
It's 917-861-8595.
And what about if people want to interact through email or web or go to a website?
The email is stemcellaction@me.com.
Okay. Very good. And so we'll be back in a moment. And the call-in number is 888-874-4888. Again, that's 888-874-4888. If you have a question about stem cells and what's happening inside of your body and what you could do to improve that. And we'll be back in a moment.
Thank you. This is the Progressive Radio Network. Information for the independent mind.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Knoll. Normally, you would hear the Progressive Commentary Hour Monday evenings, 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. However, as of today, we're going to be having it every Tuesday, 7 to 8 p.m. So just change your calendar, please. Change your schedule. Tuesday, 7 to 8 for the Progressive Commentary Hour.
Ladies and gentlemen, beginning Wednesday, June 18th at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, it's the Mark Riley Show with me, Mark Riley. It's progressive talk radio with a twist. What do I mean by twist? Listen Wednesday, June 18th at 6 p.m. Eastern and find out for yourself. We'll have the top 10 stories of the week from local to global with analysis by guess who? We'll have a top story we'll examine in depth. We'll have listener phone calls on issues important to you. And finally, we'll have a segment called To the Ridiculous. It'll be a story that's so off the wall, you'll wonder how it became news in the first place. So make a date, Wednesday, June 18th, 6 p.m. Eastern for The Mark Riley Show. I've done radio for 40 years, and I can tell you right now, I've never been this excited to start a new show. It's all for you, right here on the Progressive Radio Network.
This is PRN.FM, FM, your source for progressive radio that makes a difference.
South of the border, down next.
Coming back with you. This is Heart of Mind Radio over PRN.FM. I'm Catherine Davis, and my guests are Christian Drapeau and Elena Gurevich. And we do have a caller who has a question for us. And I want to say hello to Walter and welcome to Heart of Mind Radio.
Yes, hello. Can you hear me?
I do hear you.
I have a question. I have a naturopathic doctor, and I asked her because I have a black. Speck on my corona on one eye, you know, a dark speck and a streak. And she said, it's a scratch, you know. It could have been because of my fingernails, because sometimes I have fluid coming out at night, because at night the hormones come out and it starts healing. And probably I went a little bit beyond, you know, and hit the cornea, yes. I was wondering on stem cells, everything, the whole body actually consists in all the organs, etc., of stem cells. Will it eventually fade away?
Can you answer that question? Yes.
You know, we can. It's very difficult. First, I'm not a medical doctor, but we cannot give any. Answer what will go. What is going to happen in this one case, mm-hmm. based on just these few words? Generally speaking, the cornea does have stem cells. that play a great role in repairing the cornea. There's actually a procedure in Italy where people who have corneal burn, who have been blind for sometimes a few decades, can have a complete reconstruction of their cornea using their own corneal stem cells. So there's a process of tissue repair locally that can indeed do the job over time. But we need to know here a little bit more as to what is the cause of the issue, what is behind it, to be able to say, you know, what is the potential outcome.
Right, and I suppose some of the advice that you gave in terms of sleep and working with stress is going to have an impact on how effective a person's stem cells might be in any given case.
Absolutely. It's the reason why I mention all of these, is that stem cells do their job, but there's so many variables that can interfere in the process. You know, we talked about stress. Just talk about here in New York, you know, who lives here without some level of stress?
Yeah.
For sometimes 10, 20, 30 years? Well, during all these years, our ability to repair is reduced by stress levels. So all of this play an enormous role into the whole story.
Okay, thank you. Did that answer your question?
Yes, and the thing is, probably you're right what you're all saying, you know. I have insomnia for the last 10 to 15 years. I have to urinate about four times a night, you know, really. Is it, you know, probably this is one problem why my eyes cannot have still strain sometimes in the mornings when I get up and can't see, you know, really, because of the strain and so, things like that, you know.
Yes, okay. I cannot tell you it's the cause, but certainly it's a component of the problem. I mean, problems are rarely, if we want to be honest about it, problems are rarely, we like to look at them as being this one little thing caused by this one thing, but most of the time it's just so many different aspects that all accumulate and contribute to a problem. Here we have a scratch on the cornea, but we also have somebody who doesn't sleep very well, so anybody will have eye problems when they don't sleep much. So it kind of contributes, and we need to look at the history of every individual. But all I can say is good luck.
Well, thank you very much for your call. And we have another caller on the line, and I want to say hello.
Hello?
Yes, Laura, is it?
Yes, yes. Thank you for presenting the show, Kathy. It's very interesting.
You're
I just want to know if you have any experience with regenerating knee cartilage. I'm facing a double knee replacement, and I'd like to do everything possible to prevent that. I do take a lot of supplements, and that does keep down the inflammation, so I don't have to take drugs, but I don't know. I just wonder if there's any possible way to regenerate the cartilage.
Like many questions of that nature, it's not possible for me to say, yes, the product will do this, take it, it will help. But if we look at it in general consideration, stem cells can become chondrocyte to make cartilage. Actually, today, when we make cartilage, many labs, many clinics will no longer go and take cartilage from a cadaver or from or animal source. They will use your stem cells, make them become chondrocytes, and make them do cartilage in vitro. And then we give you your own cartilage that has been made by stem cells. So stem cells can become the cells that will make cartilage, and it has been seen. So it is in the realm of possibility, absolutely.
Is there any way I could contact you to find out more about that, about that process or where it's being done?
Yes, if you want, just you can reach out to Elena with the number that she gave you, and then she can put us in contact.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, that's great. Give out your number again, Elena.
It's 917-861-8595.
Okay, thank you so much for calling. And, you know, this is really very interesting because I think that most people, certainly people in my age group, has many of these issues of the joints, you know, getting stiff and the body not functioning like you described, Julie. You know, you go up the stairs just a little bit slower. So it does have a great impact. Before we run out of time, can either of you tell us exactly what the products are that StemTech creates? Because I was calling it StemTech, but that's the company.
StemTech is the company, and we created and launched in 2005 the first product, which was this extract from this blue-green algae, Aphanes aminum plus aqua, in short AFA. And so it was the product Stem Enhance. Then we continued to study different plants. So the product went through a number of enhancement. The product now is called SE2, which is the same extract with the addition of a polysaccharide coming from a seaweed that was shown to also support stem cell release. There's another version in preparation. We discovered a wonderful plant from Madagascar giving us an effect that is actually twice what we have seen yet with other plants. We have developed a product that really increases blood circulation, just cleans up the blood and allows stem cells to go everywhere, because it's nice to put them in the bloodstream, but if they cannot reach every corner of the body through a good blood circulation, then it defeats the purpose of putting them in the bloodstream. So we have a product, StemFlow, that really supports optimal blood flow. And then we have, as we were looking for a lot of these plants and their effect in the body, we found that actually very few stimulate stem cell release. Most of them support stem cell migration. So you consume it, and then within 30 minutes, you see a drop in the number of stem cells in the blood as cells leave the blood circulation to go into various tissues. So we blended this with a protein drink that supports stem cells in their proliferation process as well. So that is ST5. Mm-hmm. And we finally developed a product that supports proliferation of stem cells in the skin. Because the skin is your largest organ, renews very rapidly. So if we talk about this whole process of stem cell renewal, then the skin is a clear target. So we have a skincare product, a serum, that really supports like this the renewal of the skin and will cut 20 years of your life.
Very good. Well, it's really interesting for me. And I very much appreciate that you were able to come here, because we don't often get a chance to speak to a scientist who has gone in and done this research and has a significant amount of experience seeing what the consequences have been and is able to really look at the studies and understand them and understand what it's telling us. And I think that's very, very important. So I just want to thank you both for being with me here today, and to say how much I appreciate that you have come here. Christian, you're based in Canada, is that correct?
I'm from Canada, our company is based in Florida. So it's StemTech, StemTech.com, and it's based in Florida.
In Florida, very good. All right, and just as we are finishing up, we have just a few more moments for this segment, and then I have my announcements to make. Any final thoughts you'd like to share with our listeners, either of you? Elena?
I just want to wish everyone the best of health, and whichever way you may choose to find your best of health, just live long and
prosper.
And prosper.
Sorry, that Star Trek thing just snuck in there. And Christian?
We won't have the time to go into a lengthy conclusion, but just maybe we keep it for a different show. Mm-hmm. It's really understanding that all this information about stem cells that is still fairly unknown. I mean, even today in med school, we don't talk about these things. It's not a criticism. It's just a gap between research and academia. When we consider everything that is coming out in the literature about stem cells, it is literally changing entirely our understanding of health and wellness, how disease are formed, how we can reverse the process of losing our health. It really changes everything. So it's extremely meaningful in people's health to understand that it's important to think about their stem cells. It's important in our life.
I agree. I thank you both for being with me here today. And I just want to, I have a few minutes before we reach the end of our program today. So I do encourage you to find out more about this work. I'm certainly going to continue to explore it, because I was introduced to it yesterday to have a much deeper understanding. So I think I'm going to be exploring it myself and going a little bit deeper in understanding and being able to share with people so that they can help themselves. It's very self-empowering to be able to know that you can change your own life based on the choices that you make. And that's really where I'm finishing up today's program. I want everyone to really think about the fact that if your life is not where you want it to be, if your health is not where you want it to be, the thing to do is to really marshal the internal forces, the resources that you have in your life, and begin to make a difference. And as beautiful as these products may seem, there are many things that you can do to change. So it wouldn't be, oh, well, I can't afford a vitamin. I can't afford to invest in resources. I can't afford to do this. Or you might think, or you might even be in a state where you don't have the emotional resources to think that you could change your life. And really, it's just the tiniest step that you can take first. And it might be taking a breath. It might be breathing. It may be sitting still for a few moments and allowing yourself to move out of that thinking process of worrying and being stressful about what's happening in your life and sink into yourself. Feel into your heart. Get connected to your deeper self, that part of your being that's eternal. And out of that, you'll be able to find the resources within yourself to make a change, to make that first step. And there's so much that we can do that that will help us to transform. That is really a shift in how we see things, a shift in our attitude, a shift in our focus. So if it is that you are sitting in your home or sitting at an office desk and feeling stressed and tight in your body, or uptight and unhappy in your emotions, take the time to breathe. Take the time to spend a little few moments with nature. Maybe it's looking at a tree. Maybe it's to have a plant sitting at your desk so that you can have a focus to pull out of the busyness of your life and to redirect your strength and redirect your ability to take those steps. And this program, the purpose of our being here, is to give you resources, to allow you to know that there is a lot being done in the world. There's a lot of science. There are many, many healers who are standing by to help you. But you have to take the first step. Make the phone call, go onto the internet, or take those steps that are going to have an impact into your own life through your meditation, through your breathing, through your movement, and through your intention. And I invite those of you who want to find out more about this and the many things you can do to restore yourself, your health, and enhance. Many of us are doing well and could do better. I invite you to contact me at Katherine@heartofmind.org. K-A-T-H-R-Y-N is how I spell my name. Katherine@heartofmind.org. My contact is 347-480-1694. 347-480-1694. I am, as well as a radio host, a energy healer. I do Qigong and Reiki and other forms. I teach Qigong movement, meditation, and breathing. So I invite you to contact myself as well as my guest for today's program. Stay tuned. Coming up will be more engaging programming over the Progressive Radio Network. Stay tuned.